Following recording is copyright 2012 Catholic Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
When Tom was a toddler, he knew no fear. He got into everything. People said he must be smart because he was so curious. But his parents knew he wasn't yet smart enough to be afraid of the right things. One day, Tom learned the meaning of the word hot. He had grabbed a hot burner on the stove, burnt his hand, and now was ready to learn about fear. For months after that, he wouldn't come anywhere near the stove. My brother picked up on this change of behavior and started describing everything that Tom wasn't supposed to get into as hot. For example, the china cabinet was hot. Later, Tom sorted out the difference between hot and be careful. But for the time being, his newfound fear of hot kept him from getting burnt a second time. During World War II, there was a lot to be afraid of. The Nazis were hot. And soon Hitler's bombs reduced much of London to rubble. But Prime Minister Winston Churchill knew that Hitler's apparent invincibility was an illusion. Not the Nazis' greatest weapon was the climate of fear that they had created, which was calculated to demoralize their enemies. The German army was stretched way too thin, and their ruthlessness was intended to cover their bluff. Moreover, they didn't have the natural resources needed to win the war, hence their fatal attempt to capture the Baku oil fields beyond Stalingrad. Churchill rallied his fear-stricken nation without lying to his people about the challenges they faced, saying memorably, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." London may be burning, but as we know, in the end, it was Hitler who got burned. Today's gospel is a story about fear. The disciples are caught in a frightening storm miles offshore, and they see what appears to be a ghost coming at them across the water. Maybe an angel of death come to take them away. After all, they were in danger of sinking. Actually, it turns out it was Jesus, and he tries to calm their fears, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter believes his words and accepts his invitation to join him walking on the churning waters. But then it all hit him, and he became frightened, and he began to sink. All these fears seem reasonable to me. I've been caught in a small boat in a storm, and it's frightening. I've never seen a ghost, and I don't want to. But God is far more powerful than any storm or any ghost, more powerful than death itself. Once we really put our trust in God, we begin to see clearly that Satan's army is stretched way too thin, and that the ruthlessness of evil is intended to cover his bluff, and that his greatest weapon is fear, which causes us to doubt and demoralizes us. Why do we doubt the power of God? The devil can churn up all kinds of storms, but Jesus is more powerful than any storm. Anyone who is in the process of discerning a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life has to deal with a certain amount of uncertainty, which can easily lead to fear. How do I know I'm not making a big mistake? How do I know that I'm going to be able to live what seems to me to be such a demanding life? How do I know that I won't be unbearably lonely? I'm not perfect. What if I fail? The Diocese of Little Rock is not perfect. Maybe the Lord wants me to serve Him in Honolulu. Healthy questions are part of discernment. But if it really is fear that is driving our hesitation, you can be sure that Satan is at it again, and that all these false fears are his attempt to demoralize us and steer us away from responding wholeheartedly to the Lord's call in our lives. Why do we doubt the power of God? He's brought us this far. He'll make it work. The devil can churn up all kinds of storms, but Jesus is more powerful than any storm. We can trust Him. Many years ago, I asked an Indian priest serving in Oklahoma who was preparing to return to his home diocese after 3 years in the United States the following question. I asked him, "What do you now most appreciate about India after having spent 3 years here?" And his answer came very quickly. He said, "Our strong families and our fear of God." I had expected him to say families, because family ties in India are very strong, and divorce is unheard of there. But I was surprised by his reference to fear of God. He explained, "Many Americans appear to have no fear of God whatsoever, and will do literally anything that they want with no concern at all about offending Him. In India, people have great respect for God and try very, very hard not to displease Him. We depend on God for everything, after all, and we fear His punishment, but it's more than just that. After all He's given us, He simply deserves our obedience. After all He's given us, and India is one of the poorest countries in the world. And of course, obedience includes obedience to His call, to the priesthood, or to the religious life, if that's what He's calling us to. That's part of why India has so many vocations these days." In today's gospel, Jesus' disciples progress from fear of storms to the discovery that Jesus is more powerful than any storm. Earthly fears are demoralizing, whereas fear of God, rightly understood, ultimately frees us from all other fears. Jesus says, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid."